I'm glad to be able to speak to you tonight on the updated report of what's going on in the Philippines. This is a work that the Florence Boulevard congregation, along with many other congregations all over the Southeast, and matter of fact, the world, have been supporting for years now. And we have been fortunate enough, a group of us from Florence Boulevard, along with a total of 34 people, to be able to go there and to be able to work and plant a new congregation this year in the city of Balungao. So this is the entire team that went with us. We had a team of 34. These are people that are from all over the Southeast, from Georgia, from Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, and other states as well. And from these people, we had a group that came from Florence Boulevard as well. As you'll see, we have Lexi and Caleb Lesser, myself, Harvey Dupy, Dave Schmidt, and then we included Ben and Lindsay in there since they've been here for a long time. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the work in the Philippines, and where the Philippines are for that matter, the Philippines are about halfway around the world, quite literally. It's a 13-hour time difference from here to the Philippines. Now, the capital is Manila, but we go to a city called Digupan. This is close to the college that we support, which used to be Philippine Theological College and has now changed to Asian Christian University. And this is where we set up sort of our base camp, if you will. This is where we stay in the hotel. We have good accommodations there with people that we can trust, so this is where we work. So Digupan is in the province of Pangasinan in the Philippines. This is on the main island of Luzon. So if you look at a map of the Philippines and you see a bunch of different islands down in the south and one large island on the north, that is Luzon, which is where Pangasinan is. So this is where we stay, and this is where we work most of the time. And then this is where we established a new congregation. So what we did is we had a medical mission so that we could reach more people and gain more contacts with people. And through that medical mission, we were able to serve people and make contacts so that we could have Bible studies with people and then baptize them into Christ. So our goal, as I said earlier, was to establish a congregation in Balungao. And what makes this so much easier for us in the Philippines than many other countries is that through the Asian Christian University, former Philippine Theological College, all of our translators are there. The people that translate for us in a Bible study are people that know the Bible, oftentimes better than I do or better than other people that are with us. And so, as with most countries, and you have to deal with things like people getting caught off guard and people not really understanding the translation. Maybe they don't get the meaning of what was translated. But here, we don't have to worry about that because the people that are with us, that are translating for us, the students there, understand the Bible and will make sure that the people there understand the Bible of what we're trying to teach them. So I have a video that I've put together, and this is for Dimar Elam, who is the director of the Open Door Ministry, to be able to promote this work and to be able to show what's going on throughout the week that we were there. It's about 8.5 minutes long. It's got a cappella music in the background. And I would like to share this with you. And so this will explain what we have done throughout the entire week that we were there.
Thank you.
hope you enjoyed that video. I put that together so that we could show people exactly what we do, that we can distribute this video and let people see what goes on in a week. This is what your money is going to. This is what you're supporting in the Philippines. Turns out we didn't know Arby was a dentist until we got there, but you know that turned out to be beneficial. So, but the week was very successful. It really was. God blessed us all. He blessed us with safety. This year we were able to get there without making any unexpected pit stops on small islands in the Pacific Ocean, so that was nice. But while we were there, like you see up here, the numbers that were in the last video, we were able to serve 499 people medically. And through that, we were able to make connections with people that we were only able to study with 366 of them. That's all we had time for that week. But we got the names of all those 499 people. And the students there at Asian Christian University have those names, and groups of those students are going to be going out and doing more door knocking now that we're gone. Just because we left that week, that doesn't mean the work is over there. Just because the Americans aren't there, that doesn't mean that the work is over. The Filipinos that go to school there and that go with the local churches are going to be going back to these congregations and making sure that the people who were baptized and who should be attending church are attending and talking to them and studying with them if they start falling away. And they're going to be starting new Bible studies with all of these people that we were not able to study with while we were there. And then as God blessed the baptisms there with 74 baptisms, it was a truly fruitful week for the Lord. It really was. And it was so blessing to me, and I'm sure to Caleb and Lexi and to Dave and to everyone else who went on this trip and to Arby to see that. And everyone who's been before, I know my family has been before and the Gallaghers have been before and Catherine has been before. Many other people have as well, and it's truly blessing to you as a person to be able to see the work that goes on there and to be able to help touch people's lives. I have Titus 3 and verse 14 up because sometimes we think, you know, why don't we just go preach the gospel? Why do we do a medical mission or something like that? And in Titus 3 and verse 14, this is what Nolan read for us a moment ago. Thank you, Nolan. Titus is talking to local church saying, you know, be good citizens. Do good things for other people in the chapter 3. He's talking to them and saying, you know, don't cause a ruckus. Don't cause uproar in things. But one of the things he says is that we need to do good. He says, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and to not be unfruitful. I don't know about you, but I think of this as a good work. As this is something that these people do not have access to medical care like we do in the United States. That's one way we're very blessed that they're not. And we were able to provide that to them. And through that, we were able to show them that we do care about them. Yes, we care about their soul, and that is ultimately the most important thing. But it's hard for people to listen to you if they don't think you care about them. And through this, we're able to show them that we do. We care about their soul, but we also care about them as a person, a physical person. And we want to help them with that. Toward the end of the week, we had a children's day. And I don't know if you know this or not, but recently, in the past year and a half, we've added an orphanage to the college there. And this actually is the nicest orphanage in the Philippines. Now, yes, it is nice, don't get me wrong, but saying that it is the nicest orphanage in the Philippines is really not saying that much. Because many of the orphanages in the Philippines, they put 12 children in one room with bunk beds stacked to the ceiling, and they don't have any sort of air conditioning, and they don't have any sort of really good care for those children individually. Here we have house parents in two homes. We have a boys' home and a girls' home. We have about 16 children per home right now, and we're looking to expand that even more. So for all these children, on the Saturday before we left in the Philippines, we had a children's day. We played games, as you saw in the video, with all the children. We sang songs with them. We ate with them. We drew on the sidewalk with chalk with them and everything just to have fun. And seeing those orphans, seeing their face just light up, that'll just make your day. Personally, that was the highlight of my week. That was the most fun thing that we did. It we just got there that morning, and everyone's tired by the end of the week. Your sleep's all out of whack. You don't get much sleep at night. And then you see there, and it doesn't matter because all of these children are so happy to see you and so happy to have someone to just play with them and that cares about them. I have up James 1 and verse 27, and I'm sure most of you recognize this. It talks about pure and undefiled religion. And it says it is this, that we tend to the needs of the widows and the orphans. And that is what we were doing on that Saturday. We were trying to tend, as James talks about, to the orphans there, not to neglect them. After the Children's Day on the Saturday, we had a Sing-spiration. This is the second time that they've done this in the Philippines. And they have, on a Saturday, they have churches from all over the province of Pangasinan, and even a few outside of that come. I believe we had close to 300 people that day all singing from the Philippines. And each congregation would get up and sing some songs, and we would just have a great time together fellowshipping and singing. Ephesians 5:19, I'm sure many of you recognize that, which talks about singing and making melody in your heart to praise God. And that's what we were able to do with our brethren that are halfway around the world. And it's such a wonderful feeling to go halfway across the world and to be able to worship with people and feel like you're just here at Florence Boulevard worshiping with your family. It is truly a wonderful feeling. So, what is a normal day like on our trip? Many of you have seen these videos and you've heard us talk about before what we do, but let's talk for a minute about what a normal day is. This past year, for most days, we woke up at 4 a.m. We'd have breakfast about 5 a.m. At 6 a.m. or 6:30 sometimes, we'd load the buses and we would leave the hotel from Dagupan. And keep in mind, all these times are Filipino time as far as leaving, which means it could be that time or it could be 3 hours later. You just don't know. So 6 a.m., 6:30 normally, they were pretty good. We would leave the hotel. It would take us about 2 hours to get to Balungao, which is where we had the medical mission and were baptizing people and serving people. And then once we got there, 8, 9 o'clock or so, we would start the medical mission. Or on the days after that, we would go and do door knocking and Bible studies. And then that would go on until about 3 or 3:30. And then we would start cleaning up the equipment. And we would have a short devotional, or we would have a singing together as a group. And that's also very enjoyable, to be able to sing with the Filipino brethren that are there with you, that work with you. The person who's by my side all day long, and you become friends with them, and getting to worship with them and sing with them almost every day is a great feeling. So we would do that, and then we would load up the vans, and we would come back to the hotel, get back 6, 7, 8, just depends, eat supper, go to bed, repeat. That's pretty much what most of our week consisted of. You don't get a ton of sleep, but you get enough, and it's okay. You don't need any more than that. But one thing that I want to point out to you is that when we go to the Philippines, and I fully believe that any person in this audience or anywhere else who has ever been to the Philippines would tell you that we work when we go to the Philippines. We don't sit around and relax. We don't have time for that. We work the entire time. From the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, we work. We don't crash until we get home. When we get home, we crash and we sleep, and that's fine. But while we're in the Philippines, we work, and we accomplish what we're there to accomplish. So I asked some of the people that were from Florence Boulevard, what were some memorable moments for them? What were some things that really stood out to them? I talked to Dave Schmidt this afternoon, and he said that to him, the most memorable thing of the trip was the fact that everyone on the trip, all 34 people, were more than willing to help out in any way they could. They would be flexible, and it didn't matter what they had originally planned on doing. If they were needed for something else, they were more than happy to do it. That is great, and I believe that I found that on this trip and the last two that I've been on to the Philippines, that everyone is. They're really willing to help out in any way that they can. I talked to RV Dupuy this morning, and he said that to him, the most memorable thing or the thing that stood out the most to him about the trip was the fact that out of those 34 people, more than half of them were youth, which is great. And all the youth were working. They weren't just standing around. The youth were conducting Bible studies. The youth were reaching out and serving people medically. The youth were doing the work. And this is a great sign for mission work as we progress forward in the future, and the church as a whole as we progress forward in the future, that we do have tons of youth that are willing to do mission work and that are willing to go out of their way to help people. I talked to Caleb and Lexi this morning, And Caleb said that he was most surprised by the fact that people were so open to study, which is so true. You can just walk around the streets on the Philippines and ask anyone, do they want to study the Bible? And most of the time they'll say, yes, I'd love to. I was sitting at a picnic table one day waiting on a van to come pick me up. I had been shooting some video. And I had a Bible sitting there right beside me. And all of a sudden, this kid that was probably 6th, 7th grade walks up to me and says, is that a Bible? I said, why, yes, it is. And he said, can we study it? I said, sure. This is the kind of attitude that the Filipino brethren, the Filipino people have towards the Bible. They will walk up to you and ask you to study the Bible. I talked to Lexi this morning, and she said that the thing that stood out to her the most was that the people were so nice. There, the people are so friendly, and they're so nice, and that really sharing God's Word is not that intimidating as we make it out to be sometimes. That if we put that first step forward, that it's really not as intimidating as sometimes we think. So like I said earlier, the work in Balloongao is not over. There are many more things to be done. The brethren at the Philippine Theological College, now ACU, they're still going back out and working. They're still going back out and preaching and talking to people and studying with people. That way, when we leave, that's not the end of the work. People still have someone there encouraging them and caring for them much after we leave. So now let's talk a little bit about those students from the Asian Christian University. Excuse me. I'm sure that you've heard many things about in the past couple of years. I think I've talked in the past couple of years about the Philippine Theological College and the advancements and improvements that have been made there. Now it's been changed to Asian Christian University, and this is because we're in the process right now of the school becoming accredited in the Philippines. As you probably heard before, when we've been asking for books to be donated and sent over to the Philippines, that is so they can have a library large enough to be accredited. They have to meet a certain number of books, according to the government. And so right now we're in the process of this, which will benefit the school and allowing more programs to come to the school. So for a few minutes, I would like us to look at the different new advancements that have come to the school. And I've also got a short video for this. This is only about three and a half minutes long, again with a cappella music. And I hope this explains to you well the new advancements that have come to the school.
Oh, dear, there's a lot of people watching. many more souls due to your generosity. The Asian Christian University and the Open Door Ministry sincerely thank you.
I hope that video helped give you an idea of the new improvements at the Asian Christian University campus. And even if you haven't seen it before and you didn't know what it looked like before, I believe that still shows you that this is a very nice campus that is being able to encompass many more students. We've added dorms to the campus as well as a huge dining hall compared to what they had. And all of this is so that we can support more students to train them to preach. Now, what I have up on the screen right now is the First Start program. And if you see up here, this area right here, these are goat and chicken houses, and there are some more things like that over here. The First Start program was designed at Asian Christian University and Philippine Theological College to be able to help the preachers that graduate get their first start. The intention of this program is that we want the preachers that graduate from there to be able to support themselves financially and their families. The fact of the matter is the churches there don't have as much money to be able to support a preacher full time. So our intention with this is that a preacher will be able to learn some trade that they can do and to be able to support themselves. Now, in addition to this is since ACU is going to become accredited, hopefully in the near future, when students graduate with a master's degree, they will actually be able to go teach in high schools and middle schools and elementary schools classes on morality and things like that that are more secular, but they are allowed to use the Bible as their textbook for those classes. So that will be a great benefit for them if we are able to get the school accredited. Now, with the First Start program, they have chickens and they have goats and they have other animals as well. And what they do is the intention is that when a student graduates, they'll give them two goats. And whenever they have the first kids with the goats, then they give those kids back to the school. So the school has the goats again, and the school doesn't lose any goats from that process. They just loan them out for a few times. And then the goats, the kids of the original goats that are the goats that the student has, are theirs to keep. They can use those goats. They can make butter from the milk. They can use the milk. They can sell it. They can have more goats, and they can sell them. And goats are very valuable in the Philippines, as they are in many countries. So this is one viable option that is there for them to be able to support themselves financially whenever they graduate so that they're not starving and that we can also not have to worry about sending American support always to the Philippines for this. Another way is chickens. It's the same principle. They give students chickens so that they can farm chickens and have eggs and sell them to people wherever they are in whatever city they're at. The goal is that eventually we'll be able to get the Philippines off of American support, that they'll be able to support themselves. We don't want to build something where they cannot support it themselves. So that is what the goal of the First Start program is. And again, with the accreditation, hopefully whenever that happens in the near future, then our students will be able to go out and preach and teach in schools around the country, which will be a great benefit for not only them, but for God's work. So in addition to that, the ultimate goal, one of the ultimate goals with the Philippine Theological College, Asian Christian University now, is that with all these preachers that are being trained, right now in China, you cannot preach the Word of God. You can't go over there and just preach wherever you want to. The hope is, though, that all these students, at least some of them, will eventually be able to go to China if they ever allow us to be able to preach the gospel. Part of their coursework at ACU is to learn Mandarin Chinese. They have multiple courses in that so that eventually, hopefully, Lord willing, they'll be able to go to China and preach God's word. And we'll have an army of Christians ready to go spread the word throughout China. I hope you can see the many benefits that are coming from the Asian Christian University. If you have any other questions about them, feel free to come up and talk to me about them or Dave Schmidt if you see him or Ed Gallagher, and those two would probably know a lot more than I would. There are so many good works going on there that we probably couldn't even mention them all if we had time, but these are some of the main ones that I wanted to highlight tonight. So Florence Boulevard, we support a child or student there named Nippy. Nippy has an interesting story. I'm going to show a video of him talking. It's just about a minute long of him talking to Florence Boulevard and telling you thank you for all the support. But to give you a little background on Nippy, both of his parents died in a typhoon. And he doesn't have any family. He has no physical family on his earth, on this earth. So all of his family are his brothers and sisters in Christ and his friends at the Philippine Theological College. So here's Nippy. I realize that was really hard to understand. Basically what he said, though, is that he said, thank you so much for supporting him. He appreciates the support to be able to get him through school. He says multiple times that he would have nothing without us. And maybe you understand that a little bit more now that you know that he doesn't have parents and he doesn't have a physical family. So, from Nippy, thank you for supporting Nippy. Because you have truly made a difference in his life. You've truly helped his life for the better so that he can become educated and he can learn God's word and go out and preach and teach others. I hope that this presentation has been helpful to you tonight and that you've been able to see many of the benefits and many of the merits of the work that's going on in the Philippines. It's a very well-oiled machine. Last year we went and the year before last, the first time I went to the Philippines and my whole family went and we planted a congregation in a city called Binmali. And last summer there was another group that went and planted a congregation in a different city. And then this summer we planted another congregation in Balungao. And next summer, Lord willing, we'll go plant another congregation somewhere else. This is a work that we want to continue into the long term, into the future. We don't want this work to die, and this work has no intention of that. Because there are many people, both in the U.S. and in the Philippines, that love God and that want to spread His word to everyone around them. Yes, they want to spread them to their neighbors, and they also want to spread them to people halfway across the world. The students that are there are always working. They're not lazy at all. We probably don't even imagine how much they work. Before the sun rises, they're up working in the garden there or working with the goats in the First Start program or setting up something for class. They're up early every morning. They have to get up at 5 a.m. every morning or they have to start working at 5 a.m. And after we leave in the Philippines every night to go to our hotel, they have another hour, hour and a half to get back to their hotel or to their dorm. They're always working. When we're out studying the Word of God with other people, they're the ones who are going and helping us get more Bible studies. They're the ones who are doing most of the work. When we need water, when we're thirsty, they're the ones who run and get us water. They are workers. They work for the Lord. They work for their friends. And they help everyone around them. You see, one of the reasons for this is the fact that they don't have much. They don't have the worldly possessions that you and I have. Some of them, like Nippy, they don't have the family that we have. The friends that we have, that we grew up with, they don't have those. And so they've been able to focus on what's important. And through the help of ACU and PTC and others, they've been able to learn that God is the most important thing. And that's what we need to focus on. And they spread His love and His word everywhere they go. They're beacons of light like we can only imagine sometimes. I think about sometimes, what are we doing? Ben talked about that a lot this morning. Ben Hogan did, in that, you know, we've got to have a defense for our faith. We've got to be able to read. We've got to be able to defend it. And if nobody's ever asking us about our faith, then do they really know that we have it? If you'll remember, a couple of weeks ago, R.B. Duffy was giving a lesson, and he was talking about one of his interactions with one of the Filipinos named Arnell, and said that Arnell was asking, what kind of evangelism do you do in the U.S.? And he said, well, we do a lot of friendship evangelism, and, you know, we have some other things that we do. And I think about that sometimes, and I think, do we make excuses? Are we making excuses for just going out and telling people God's love and God's word? Like Lexi said earlier this morning, when I asked her what she remembered about the Philippines, she said that she remembered that it's actually not all that intimidating to spread God's word. That's not true just in the Philippines. That's true here. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, we're warned of being lukewarm. We're told that if we're lukewarm, God will chew us up and spit us out. He doesn't want lukewarm Christians. We've got to stand for God. People around us have to know that we love God. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, we're told to make disciples of all nations. That's what we tried to do through this mission trip. We're trying to make disciples. We went to the Philippines. That's just one nation out of hundreds in the world. Are we really trying to make disciples, though, out of the U.S., where we are? That doesn't just mean all other nations. That means our nation, too. We can't make excuses for not doing God's word. Mark 16 and verse 15 says, go into all the world. And if you ask Ed or other Bible scholars, they'll say the literal translation of that is that as you are going into the world, meaning that as we go about our daily lives, we've got to spread God's word, we've got to spread God's love, and we've got to teach other people about His grace. If you hadn't been doing that tonight, if you've been making excuses and you just haven't been showing God's love and spreading God's love to other people, if maybe your coworkers, your friends, don't really know that you're a Christian, that's something they need to know. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never put on Christ in baptism. If you haven't, then tonight we would love to baptize you into Christ. We would love to bury you in that watery grave so that you can rise again free from all your sins. And if you just need some encouragement, we'd love to encourage you too. If there's anything we can do for you, please come as we stand and as we sing.